Okay, that works.
All right. Well, welcome to the first podcast of whatever the fuck we're going to call this.
How about a let's talk?
A let's talk. So we're just going to do let's talks about mechanics.
Yeah, that works. How cool is that?
I was thinking about like a studio name or like a production name, I guess. I thought Hand Hawk Studios was okay. Like Hand, H-A-N-D, and then Hawk, H-O-K.
I said Hand Hawk.
Hand Hawk Studios.
Something completely different. Like, you know what, Adam? You probably shouldn't name your studio after a nickname for your penis. Doesn't really work too well. Yeah, I tried.
Whatever. So, I figure if we're going to do a show about mechanics, we should probably define mechanics to begin with. Because they themselves are an extremely nebulous term, and there's no, like, strict definition for what a mechanic is. So, Jeremy, do you want to?
I don't know. Like, I haven't done... I mean, I've sort of looked into it, but yeah, you're right. There is no, like, set, like, I guess written definition of mechanic. People just sort of, like, throw around the term, like, oh yeah, that mechanic, you know, like, I guess, like, what everyone means, though, or what everyone, like, sort of gets at is, like, something that, like, I guess, like, I would put it as, like, something that the player takes into account that affects their decisions within, like, the game space. So, I guess, like, in the example of Dishonored, since I'm playing that right now, like, I would say, like, the blinking mechanic makes, like, I don't know, like, the sneaking, you know, like, a lot easier compared to, like, things like that. But, I don't know, you could also, like, mechanic can be applied to a lot of things.
A mechanic is a tool. A mechanic is a tool, like, to interact with the game, kind of in an input-output sense, if you want to bring it to C++ terms. But
there's a lot of things that, like, the player doesn't have, like, direct control over. Like, let's say, like, the, I forgot what they're called, but, like, the, like, the pods that shoot acid at you, like, that's also a mechanic in some sense, because, like, I have to take that into account when sneaking around. Like, so it, like, affects my, like, gameplay. So, like I don't control the acid pods, per se. It just, like, it makes me think differently. If there was no acid pods there, I would just, like, blaze through a thing, an area. But, like, now that they're there...
I wouldn't consider an enemy attack a mechanic.
Like, I think it's more that, like, an enemy could be part of how mechanics can be used. I think that the enemies are there to facilitate, like, a specific instance where you could be like, oh, well, I can shoot this thing with an arrow, or I can throw a grenade at it, or I can do all this different stuff to get rid of an enemy and be like, okay, well, now I can progress. And like Jacob said, it's using a tool, but at the same time, the whole idea of a character, or not a character, but, like, an enemy as a mechanic isn't itself... correct, because again, there's no definite answer to what a mechanic is. So, with Dishonored, I wanted
to. But I wouldn't define a genome soldier. I wouldn't define a genome soldier as a mechanic of MGS1. It's just an enemy.
Yeah.
It's an object, a challenge. A challenge is not the mechanic. The mechanic is what lets you beat the challenge.
Okay.
Per se, a mechanic can also be used differently in some games don't have challenge, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well. I don't know. I kind of think of mechanics as in, like, I guess, like, gears and cogs to, like, a really, like, you know, complicated machine. And, like, some of those gears and cogs, like, you can manipulate and have, like, agency
over. Exactly,
and
those are the ones
some
that
of
are
those...
mechanics. Everything else, is not a mechanic unless you can interact with it.
Well, that's what I'm saying, like, different, like, the cogs, like, don't have to fully, like, act to your will. Like, some of those gears, I guess, are going to be, I don't know, like, they're different compared to other things, like...
There are things that need that genuinely work on their own and aren't tied to the player. They aren't tied directly to the player.
But overall, those gears do affect the machine in, like, the end result. And that's what I would... I guess, call a mechanic.
So just anything that affects the, like, potential gameplay?
Holy yeah. shit, that's everything in the game, then.
Yeah, exactly, but that's why
the
mechanic...
The environment's a the level is a mechanic.
Like, not...
The enemy's
some things
a mechanic,
like...
the texture's a mechanic, the paint's a mechanic.
I would not classify a texture as a mechanic.
But
that's
it's
just...
part of the machine. It produces visual feedback to the player. If you want to go that broad with your definition, you really have
well,
to
like,
draw
some specific, boundaries. Some specific textures, like, let's say, or like, maybe an animation that draws the, like, the attention of the eye, yeah, that might be, like, part of, like, an enemy's mechanic, but...
I'd say that, like, enemies have specific things they can use that they themselves are, like, mechanics of the enemy, but, like, I wouldn't consider an enemy to be in itself a mechanic, if that makes sense. Like, if you look at, like... a lot of, like, beat-em-ups, there are various enemies with that use fists, and then there are enemies that use guns, and then there are enemies that use swords or pipes or various other things like that. Those enemies have different, like, styles of trying to kill or hit the player, and that is, like, their mechanic, but I don't think that calling an enemy specifically, just saying, like, enemies are mechanics, is a little weird, because to have an enemy is to have sort of a wall blocking your way, and... Like to actually
so
make
would
it
a mechanic
game.
Be? Would a mechanic be a verb or an action?
Possibly. I mean, if you
that is the one thing an enemy is not. It is not an action. It is a physical object, a noun. Same
yeah.
with an environment. So would a mechanic just for a player mechanic and any mechanic in any kind just be defined as a verb or just?
Well, I think there's it's more associated with verbs because if you look at like. Like, a lot of mechanics deal with actions. Like, if you look at, like, for example, Super Mario, you jump, you run, jump, fly, you stomp, and you do various action elements that are, like, the mechanics of the game.
Okay, so a mechanic is quite simply just a verb, it is an action rather than an object.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is something that I want to get, like, I want us to get this nailed down, because if we don't get this nailed down, we'll be swimming in a sea
no, yeah, I understand.
Misunderstood
like, okay.
mechanical
stealth
verbiage.
Games and Dishonored
yep.
and how deep it, yeah, it's important to nail down, and I think if we just want to get it out of the way, an easy way to look at it, it's just an action.
Alright. Okay, so like, oh, fucking more rats. you can tell
rats.
I'm playing Dishonored. I would say, like, mechanics are actually a lot more basic, like, a block with, like, in the terms of, like, Dishonored swordplay is a mechanic, and a swing in terms of the swordplay is a mechanic, and, like, other elements of, you know, like, just what I do with the sword culminates into swordplay, so you wouldn't call swordplay a mechanic, it's just the swordplay comprised
yeah,
of mechanics.
Yeah, so, like, swinging, like, technically, a swing of your sword could be a mechanic, but then, like, all of your sword swings develop into the system of combat.
Well, you can be broad or you can be narrow with what you want to define as a mechanic. You can say swordplay as an entirety is a mechanic, a combat mechanic. Or you could go deeper and say that the block is a defensive mechanic
yeah.
and the swipe is an offensive mechanic.
Yeah, exactly, which if you go that deep, then you want to start calling the combat not a mechanic, but you want to start calling it a system.
Yes, a system, that's the word I was looking for.
Because in a system...
Also,
yeah, a system...
It also comes from fighting games, because you have different systems, and you have different offensive and defensive mechanics.
Yeah. So, like, again, I think it comes down to actions, and I think if we want to sort of broaden those actions into, like... Because a lot of the times, system and mechanic are somewhat interchangeable. Like, if you have the combat system acting as a mechanic into... involving, like, this other thing, then you can say mechanic. But I think if you're talking about the combat system explicitly, you have to break down the system into its own mechanics.
There's definitely a hierarchy where mechanics are always part of a system, but a system cannot be a part of something else.
Well, the system would be part of the game. Like, you'd have this system and this system and this
system.
Well,
yeah, no, but a system can't be... there can't be a parent to the system. The system is a parent to mechanics, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to interchange mechanic with a system,
yeah.
that's fine, but you can't say the swiping system is a mechanic of the combat system.
Yeah, exactly.
What?
Yeah. So I figured some of the most obvious mechanics that are in Dishonored would be some of the supernatural powers. I unfortunately don't have anything of those like written down for me, but since Jeremy's playing the game right now, could you maybe bring up that window and name
Okay. I
something
can
off?
list them off the top of my head.
You
Alright.
guys and
I
your
want to test it,
fanatic
actually.
Dishonored shenanigans.
Wait, are we just going to list off the powers?
No, we'll talk about them. I
Okay.
just want to like.
Okay. Okay, here's one that I really like. Okay. Dark vision. Let's talk about that one, because I
Okay.
have some opinions about dark
The
vision.
3D version of the Soliton radar.
Pretty much. It lets you see through walls, people's fields of visions. If you level it up, you can increase that range, I believe.
It's very
You can
selective
also.
in Corvo's case. It's like the outsider is like, you can see through walls. And he's like, well, I only want to see the things that benefit my mission. So, like, electronics and bad guys.
And you can see money, so you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bad guys, money,
And.
and bad things that might kill me.
So what did you want to talk about it specifically, Jeremy? Like what do you have that
Well,
is such a gripe?
okay, so in the game, you have the ability, or I guess a mechanic, to look through keyholes, and I feel like that's pretty like specific. You know, like I want to look through this specific like cone of vision at this certain time, and I want to do it without being seen and be on the other side of this wall still, with like still like the safety of the door being there. And so like, oh, okay, that's pretty limiting. And I'd say that like putting limitations on the player is actually a good thing in terms of creating like interesting gameplay. But like now that you add this like really cheap like it's actually like cheap. It doesn't cost that many runes to acquire.
No, it does
Like
drain
the
mana.
ability to do that from any position, now that's just sort of like giving like the player like this sort of like ultimate ability, I
Well, like
guess.
a
Like
dominant
it.
method.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's
And
not
I feel
true.
like.
Because the small, it's a very like one thing, they're very different, and some things are better than the other. For example, dark vision allows you to see from any safe location at a pretty good range. And you don't have a cone of vision like the keyhole does. But the keyhole allows you to see fully textured objects. It allows you to see every little thing, not just what dark vision wants you to see.
I think Dark Vision itself, after just finishing playing through it, I bought Dark Vision as like, yeah, like screw it, like I don't wanna have to constantly like be looking out of keyholes and like, you know, pitter-pattering my way around the rooms, and trying to figure things out. But what I found is that after playing it for 5 hours-ish, and then like even though I had dark vision, I would screw up constantly. I'd constantly be caught, constantly have to get out of situations and just like run, and they'd still be looking for me, and it just like it'd be this like massive problem. I think to myself like, but I have dark vision. Like why is this happening? It's because like even though dark vision, you're like yeah, I can see everything. If you're, it's a handicap, like you were saying, Jeremy. But it's such a handicap that it lulls you into like this false sense of like I'm safe. And then all of a
Oh.
sudden, like you don't, like you didn't look in a specific direction, and like you just walk out a door, and a guard's just like, "Hey, there he is!" And you're like, "But I looked over there," and like you're like, "But I didn't see anything over there because of dark vision's limited range and because of everything else." You don't actually know that that's coming, and thus it's more of like a hindrance to the
Oh, we should
player.
specify this is only for Dishonored Vanilla game because these two other people have not played the expansions and they're kind
Woo!
of aw,
Yeah.
dumbasses.
Whatever. Money is an object
Played
which I
those
do not
games
have much
four
of.
times in a row.
Yeah, just excuses, just excuses. Call your
Hey,
Johns, get
hey,
salty.
hey,
It's okay.
hey. But yeah, so like, and then after a certain point, I found myself, because I would find myself, like, I'd activate dark vision and walk around, and then it goes away after a while. Like, it just kind of turns off. And, like, I'd find myself immediately after it turned off, I'd turn it back on. Because like I would need it to just like be able to navigate the world.
I think that is a problem with dark vision is that it creates Oh god, I forget the word I'm looking for. But it forces you to kind of rely on it, and it gives you this privilege, and that living without the privilege is too hard. Because I remember on my couple runs through it, even in the DLC, I didn't use dark vision. Or no, I didn't use the keyholes. Sorry, I used dark vision all the time, and it's like, well, I could use the keyholes, but that means I have to, one, approach a door, two, I have to stay there for, like, minutes.
Yeah.
It's just a total pain to use compared to dark vision. It's like if Metal Gear Solid 2, you didn't have any access to Soliton radar, ever, and you had to peek around walls all the time.
Well, I'd say in Metal Gear Solid 2's case, like, having the Soliton radar really benefits from the, it's beneficial to the game. Because of, like, how tedious it is to, like, look around, and because, like, it's a, you know, like,
That's what I'm saying.
It's third person. But, like, in Dishonored's case, I found it a lot more interesting to not use dark vision on my second playthrough and actually have to, like, look around corners and, you know, with, like, Q and E.
But that's for a definite
look
fan.
Through keyholes.
Like, someone who's really into the hardcore aspect and wants to go through on a second run and do things differently.
Yeah, but, and I also feel that dark vision is approaching the more casual or, like, person who hasn't really played stealth games all that much.
And I definitely got that vibe from dark vision, which is why on every subsequent run through the game, I never used dark vision. I'm like, why would I waste runes on something made for the casual player?
So, or like for the player running it through for the first time and just kind of wants to find secrets to do, like make sure that they try to be, you know, as sneak thiefy as possible.
Yeah, it's like if Dark Souls gave you a catch-all weapon that had the best moveset and good overall stats.
I'd say it's as if Dark Souls gave you a weapon that like could theoretically shoot through a wall. So, like, because in Dark Souls, there's a lot of enemies that just kind of, like, not necessarily hide around corners, but they kind of, like, they hide in certain places that you couldn't really hit them without, like,
going around a wall. If it gave you just, like, a good ranged weapon, like, if it just gave you a gun, it was like, okay, play Dark Souls.
Yeah, and there was like, an insta-kill gun.
No, it didn't even have to be insta-kill, because there are situations in Dark Souls designed for melee people where it's, like, or maybe I'm thinking of Dark Souls 2, but it's, like, hey, there's a sorcerer at the end of this hallway. Have fun. And, like, if you gave someone a gun, it would just be like,
okay, whatever.
Boom,
boom.
Or, like, oh no, the boss is only melee. I'm just gonna camp at the end of the hallway and use this fucking gun.
Yeah. I know that the biggest mechanic that I think Dishonored has is Blink. It's one of the... Isn't it free?
Oh, yeah.
Don't you just get it?
Oh, yeah, you get it for free.
Yeah, so I know that there are various ways to play through the game, but I think Blink, the fact that you just get Blink for free is... It's like...
They want you to incorporate Blink, but there are people who do playthroughs without it.
Hmm, okay. Like, I feel that Blink is probably the most prominent of all of them.
It definitely is. It's what separates the game from being just Thief 4 or 5, technically.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's probably, like, the biggest one that stands out. So.
And it's definitely the strongest and the cheapest.
Yeah.
It's the cheapest spell, and it's strong because of its many uses.
Yeah, I also... There's a lot of instances in the game that you're really, like, influenced to use it. I know when you're sneaking around one of the big forts, there's an area where it's just, like, a square hallway, essentially. If you look up, there are chandeliers.
Yeah.
And then you get up on the chandeliers, and your Blink, if you have the fully upgraded version, it goes to the next chandelier. Like, it obviously, like, this is what they were trying to do with it.
Or
like,
you could use a double jump.
Yeah, but...
There's multiple ways, but yeah, they really want you to use Blink, and the third to final level is nearly impossible without Blink. Because not only is it kind of spoilers, I guess, a huge fortress, but there's also Striders, and Striders are very difficult to kill without Blink.
Yep.
I think the second to last level you can do without it, though. Like, the swampy area.
Yeah. I'd say it's definitely prominent.
You miss out on a lot of, like, rooftop opportunities, but, like, that's just another player decision.
Yeah.
It's not like a main part of the vision.
So, like, something else I find with both Blink and Dark Vision that most players are sort of shoehorned into playing their first playthrough as, like, Sneak Thief, essentially. Which I find to be kind of strange, because, like, a lot of people, especially with Dishonored, when they first load it up and they start looking at abilities and they start seeing what they're going to use, they see, like, silent takedowns or, like, what was another one?
It allows... Isn't it, like, more health or, like, better combat, like, more sword damage, like, typical, like, Berserker... Oh, Berserker mode is what it is, where you can do two takedowns at once. It's the other combat.
Yeah, and I just... I feel it a lot, like, especially with, like, modern FPS and, like, various other, like, more action-packed, I guess, like, Skyrim or even Oblivion at times. There's an element of stealth that is lacking, so whenever somebody picks up a game and there's the option to go stealth, I think a lot of people pick that stealth option because...
Well, because Dishonored was marketed as a game where you could go stealth or go all out, but what took prominence for some reason was the stealth.
Yeah, I think that's partly because...
Well, I don't know. In some of Dishonored's advertising, there's a lot of, like, look how many ways you can kill this person, and then, like, starts, mm-hmm. you know, like... Like, freeze time and make you kill him. So, like, I don't know. Some of Dishonored's advertising just kind of gets to me because it misses out on the whole branching thing.
Well, I think the whole point of marketing... Let's not even talk about marketing. Let's just say Dishonored's marketing was trying to say that you could do things multiple ways. And I think that really gave to a lot of people who were tired of Modern Warfare 2's campaign being remade over and over again on store shelves for $60.
Yeah, so Jeremy, since you're in it right now, can you list off some of like the more like stealthy powers that are associated
Possession,
with
Possession, Blink, Dark Vision,
Bend Time.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Devouring Swarm, I don't know, that one, it could be used as like a distraction.
Yeah, I know, I didn't use Devouring Swarm, I know that like this...
Now, you can use it for Possession. If you really want a mono drain to get one thing across, you can do Devouring Swarm and then lead into Possession, but it takes so much mana.
Jeremy, what's... Yeah. I know there's a couple passive perks that go along with it. I know there's the...
There's Double Jump. There's Agility, which increases your movement speed, which then leads into a Double Jump. There's also Bloodthirst, which allows for you to get... The more kills... If you get a certain number of kills, it allows you to do Double Execution.
And then what's the... There's one where you get...
There's the hell... And there's also Shadow Kill, where it's, like, no bodies.
I was about to list that one off.
Isn't there another one that, like...
It's, like, more health.
But isn't there... Yeah. There's one that allows you to move silently, I know that much. Is that Agility?
No. That's actually, a viable thing.
So, but with a lot of Dishonored's powers, I feel that, like, a lot of people are more attracted to all those ones that, like... give them more stealth options, which I find to be funny when there's all those ones that, you know, that give you more of an option to go essentially loud and just kind of kill everybody off.
Well, I think it's because stealth gives you more of an active, like, it gives you more active powers, mm-hmm. while the combat is very much passive.
Yeah.
Because all the combat abilities comes from, not the runes, what were the other things you could get?
But just, like, all the tools and equipment?
No, there were passive things you could pick up in the environment, and I forget their name, because there were runes
which
you
used to buy.
Bone Charms. Bone Charms give you a lot of, like, aggressive passive abilities. And that's just not very... It's not very attractive to people. It's like, oh, cool, plus 10 to my health.
I also think the Bone Charms are, like, very under, like... Not undermined, but I think a lot of them were, like, they presented themselves as being, like, underpowered, but then in reality, half of the Bone Charms were,
they
like,
were super strong.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially since you could stack them and get multiple later on.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, they were, especially, like, you could go in separate loadouts just with different Bone Charms, because the Bone Charms provided such wildly different effects, like, being able to carry people faster, stuff like that.
Yeah, so, like, I think that's definitely, like...
You have to remember, this game is made by Bethesda, and so it's marketed to...
Well, it's actually, it's produced by Bethesda.
Sorry, it's published by Bethesda. Yeah. Bethesda did the marketing, and they marketed to the casuals.
Yes,
filthy,
and no.
Filthy, dirty casuals.
Filthy, dirty, dirty casuals.
Ruining my video games.
So, like, and then a lot of the, I know, so then they're all the supernatural powers that give you all these different abilities, and they're essentially, each one of them is a different mechanic that you can use to interact with the game world. One of the other interesting things is the tool set that the game gives you. It gives you, like, all these different ways to use a lot of the tools that you get. I know that the hand bow, or the hand crossbow, it can be both used for explosives, it can be used for normal arrows, and then it can be used for sleep arrows to knock out people from a distance. And then, like, you can upgrade your health, and you can get a scope on your mask, and, like, all this different stuff. And essentially, it works in tandem with those supernatural powers.
Well, because they seem to have four different... It's kind of like, not a Venn diagram, it's a chart with four sections. So I guess four squares. You have...
Yeah.
Give me a second. You have physical, supernatural, violent, and non-violent. And then they cross in each and every way.
Yeah.
So you could have the crossbow used for silent, stealthy kills, or you can use it for explosive, and the crossbow is physical. Or you can use blink as an offensive maneuver to kind of go loud and make sure you don't get hit, or you can use a stealthy so you sneak around and don't get seen.
Yeah.
And it's supernatural.
Well, I think what, I don't know, just what you're generally getting at is, like, I don't know, like, as I'm spacing out right now, actually playing the game a little bit.
Maybe you should stop.
But, like, a lot of the things that pertain to stealth are active because, like a stealth game is kind of like a puzzle, and you're using all of these tools to, like, get past these, like, different obstacles, like people seeing you and whatnot. While for combat, it's more of, like, they're less puzzle pieces, and it sort of just, like, makes it a little easier, like, for the health thing.
Well, yeah, and you're not really, like, thinking, like, how do I do this? You're just thinking, okay, well, I've got to, you know, parry, stab this guy a couple times to make sure he's dead, and parry.
But there are situations you can't parry stab,
yeah,
like the Strider or the music boxes or stuff like that. There are a whole bunch of, like, they try to present different enemy types, which every game should. And so they give you different ways. There are also more active abilities. They're just not supernatural. Like, there's the gun, the crossbow, and you can get other upgrades and weapons.
Mm-hmm.
So you can also get grenades or mines.
Yeah, I know, since I only did one playthrough, and I, of course, went Sneak Thief, and I don't think I killed a single one of, like, the main bad guys. With you guys having done multiple playthroughs, since this game, it's meant for a multi-purpose playthrough, and you can play how you want, how is some of the gunplay and, like, the swordplay?
The gunplay is fine because it reloads fast.
Okay.
Especially
the swordplay.
Okay, so really quick, I'm just going to talk about the gun, and then Jeremy, you can go on whatever, but the gun, there are two different types. There's the one where it's like, I'm stealthing for the most part, and occasionally it's like, oh, I got caught, I'll use my gun. And you use it, and you're like, well, that gun, it's alright, it's kind of crappy. And you play the second time through, you're like, okay, I'm going to go all combat. And you fully max out your gun. And it feels like you're not using a flintlock, but instead you're using, like, a Beretta.
Yeah, future
yeah.
cannon.
Like,
yeah,
okay, so, like, the thing about, like, I guess, like, flintlocks in games, or, like, in just general, like, there's kind of, like, a psychology of, like, all right, I got one shot at it, but it's really powerful.
So
it's
an exaggeration,
like, you know,
in video games of what the flintlock really is and how it really works.
Yeah, but, like, most people are like, oh, yeah, like, you only get one shot, but it, like, knocks him down dead, blah. But, like, in this game, it, like, it does that for, like, the beginner's pistol, and, like, it's sort of, like, I guess, like a helper,
the
like, you're like, oh, yeah, I can...
It...
Yeah,
that's all it
but,
is.
Like,
it's
once
like
you fully... Yeah, like, it's kind of like, oh, I kind of need this right now, because that guy's over there, and I'm stabbing this guy right now. So I'll just shoot him and then go back to stabbing this guy. But, like, once you, like, get it, like, really upgraded, it's like, I have a pistol. I'm just gonna, like, you know, like...
You can play the game with your shoot bangs, like the Call of Duty.
Yeah.
And it's a really good pistol.
Mm-hmm. So then, what about the swordplay? Because I know I did, like, the most...
Swordplay stays the same.
Yeah, but, like, is it...
Yeah.
Because...
Well, okay.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeremy.
Like, the swordplay, first off, like you notice, like, okay, yeah, it's, like, it's basically about, like, kind of, like, timing. And then, like, things sort of get, like, added on to it later. Like, oh, now I can, like, once you start to get the hang of grenades, like, it's, okay, I just, like, swordplay is simple, but you can add things to it, which is really fun. Like, if it was just, like, oh, yeah, block, parry, stab, like, that's boring. But now that I can, like, double jump and, like, you know, stab you from above,
like,
and then, like, throw a grenade
and
jump.
Definitely cry. Like, all this crazy shit. Well, you also, it's good because you can mix it with tools, but there are still things that make it better. For example, the whirlwind bow charm allows you to just swing your sword faster, so you get more of an offensive feel.
Oh, yeah.
And then you can also combine that with Berserker, where the first generation of the perk, you get more health, and the second generation, you get to do two executions. And so what you can do is, you know, occasionally cut down a guy, execute, blah, 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 and then you can do two executes, so it makes it way faster. Basically, the swordplay gets sped up if you go for offensive, but it doesn't really change the core of the mechanic.
Okay, but, like, so it gets sped up and variety can be added to it, but essentially it's a very simple sort of way of, like, simple, quote-unquote, with,
yeah,
simple but effective. Yeah.
Yeah,
it also feels really good, which is very important to combat.
It feels great.
So would you guys
like
say
actually,
that a lot of these, like a lot of the powers and a lot of the stuff on their own could be considered mechanics because, again, this is on its own, they're so, like, simple and easy to, like, understand.
Yes.
And that what makes Dishonored a super in-depth game is that all of these culminate into essentially your interpretation of Corvo, like how you've developed Corvo and how you perceive yourself as Corvo and, like, all this other
stuff. That's
definitely
how I played it in the first vibe when I rented the game, when it came out, like the month it came out. I was like, oh, there's a lot of options. I'm going to make Corvo how I would play Corvo.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where Dishonored really comes from, like, where it's genius for the gameplay is because it gives you these very simple mechanics, like, you throw a grenade, guy explodes. Not much depth to that.
Yeah.
But you can combine that with a sword play and using the gun, or using Blink, and it, like, everything is so neatly intertwined.
Yeah. So, and, like, of course, all of these different things culminate into, I'd say, interactions with this whole chaos system that Arkane developed with the game, which, it's not anything new, this whole idea of, like, whether or not you kill everybody or whether or not you let everyone live is something that's been done before. It was done, I mean, like, just choosing, just basic choice in terms of whether or not you take the bullet or whether or not the guy you're standing with takes the bullet has been done in Fallout and in, I don't know, just tons of other games with necessarily multiple endings. Like, something that I found weird was that it only seemed like it was based on whether or not I killed the key characters rather than...
It does feel like that, but it's really not.
Okay.
It sucks. For me, I thought it was cool when it first appeared. I'm like, okay, that's cool. And then you realize, oh wait, there's two endings to the game and there's no middling ground. It's either you kill people, or you don't. And it's very binary. It's like, if you kill everybody, you're looked at as evil, because you're killing people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, I killed people to save a child.
Yeah, but, like, is...
And to restore peace to the kingdom, but whatever, you killed a dude, so you're a fucking murderer and you're a bad guy.
I don't know. There is technically a, like, a middle ending, like there is, like, three, like,
yeah,
I guess, like,
there's,
Emily's
like, good,
speech.
Where, like, Emily starts
okay, that,
the golden age,
damn it.
And then there's the middle one, where it's, like, she doesn't, the golden age is where, the plague is defeated, and like, a golden age starts for the city. The middle ground is that, like, the plague is still around, and it wasn't, like, super good or super bad for the city, and then the last one is, like, everyone is killed by the plague, and, like, Emily is an awful ruler, and then...
Emily's, like, jerking off on her throne court, and she's, like, coming all over, like, Corvo's grave.
Jeez.
No, people with no morals. but, I don't know, like, even though, like, Dishonor system was binary, and you could sort of, like, discuss, like, oh, man, I was actually doing something good, so I don't give a fuck about killing people, you shouldn't either, like, like, the thing, like, the Dishonored did that always, like, really just gets to me is it still makes me feel guilty for like, actually, like, doing the chaotic actions. And Fallout, like, I just kind of, like, I'm like, okay, I kind of just, like, want to steal things. I don't care. Like, there wasn't that many...
Fallout's agenda isn't made to make you feel, like, guilty for your wrong.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah,
it's like... to make you feel like a supervillain.
Or in Fallout, it's just to make, like, I was thinking about this earlier, like, with Fallout, like, the player can do, essentially, like, the player can kind of be doing whatever he wants out in the world, and then when it comes to interacting with a character, theoretically, they could do the opposite, as it didn't require, like, a skill check.
If you're talking about Fallout 3, yes. Fallout New Vegas, no.
What do you mean?
Fallout New Vegas is just everything... is side quests. There really is no main story. It's just kind of like the wanderer in his journeys, and so everything is.
Well, but
like,
isn't there an
old lady and then be nice to Elvis?
Yeah, like, but like, wouldn't isn't like there in like an interconnection between like New Vegas itself and then like Caesar and then like the New California Republic? Like, isn't there like sort of a intermixing?
It's not really. It's not like the hero's journey.
Well,
like Fallout 3
like,
is.
I
it's
mean,
just like. There was, it's like, North versus South, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, it's two factions shooting each other in the face, or javelining each other.
Yeah, but like, you have some part
in
creating the history, so I would say that, like, developing that history is like the quote-unquote, like, main quest.
Well, the main quest the entire game, then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, all the side, okay, whatever.
Like, I don't know, I think that's generally part of, like, Bethesda open world games. Like, I know Skyrim had like a main quest, but I felt that it was more how you interacted with the world.
Well, that was everybody's journey. That was what
yeah.
That was their story, their tale, not the main quest.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a lot of Bethesda games, but yeah.
Dishonored isn't trying to make you like it doesn't really give you the option to be a bad guy and just live your life as a bad guy. You live a bad guy, and then Sam the Boatman's like, hey, brother, you shouldn't have been a
you
bad
suck.
Guy.
Yeah, I felt that it was... Sam was cool because he was...
Sam was your conscience.
Yeah,
you know?
he was that voice of, like, morality that would come in every now and again and be like, hey, man, you're doing a good job, or hey, man, this... stuff you're doing isn't cool. And so it, like...
Yeah, I did a full violent playthrough, and at the very end, like, Sam's last words are just like, you know, you're a real dick. I was like, oh.
Yeah, but, like, it's a good way to sort of indicate to the player, like... Because... I don't really want to say it, but, like, Sam is essentially the best, like, the... one of the
well,
goodest
he's...
characters of the
okay.
group.
Goodest?
Goodest... The most goodest.
Sam.
One of the best.
Sam is really. Okay. I like him as a character because he basically represents, like, what, like, I guess, like, the. Like, what everyone else will experience. Because, like, you are a special case, and a lot of people involved in, like, the. I guess, like, whole, like, situation that the game is based around is, like, a special case. But everyone else. Like citizens, I guess you could say, like, have to, like, deal with these effects that, like, they don't get any choice. Like, Corvo is basically, like, the person making the choice.
I'm the decider.
Yeah, he's the decider, and Sam is, like, the only person you really get to talk to that's, like, yeah, like, that affects me, like, for the rest of my life, and yet I'm just driving a boat, so, but, how is that fair?
Well, yeah, Sam's your window into the civilian world. And I think as a character, he works perfectly because he's that nice, like, down-to-earth old man that just really wants to fish.
Yeah, and plus, like, it's not... Because I know in a lot of... I could link this to The Walking Dead. A lot of people hate Season 2 because of one specific character. Throughout the entire season is the voice of reason. Whenever he is in the shot, he is the voice of reason. There's no single...
Are you talking about Kenny?
No, I'm talking about... No, this is like, The Walking Dead, like... TV
oh,
series.
Okay, the TV
yeah,
TV
yeah
TV
not, like,
one,
the series
right?
series, not the game.
Oh,
but, like...
Okay.
Then Kenny's a piece of shit. You have the voice of reason.
But there's a voice of morality and a voice of reason in the TV series. And every scene he's in, and every time you see him, he's just, like, continuously saying, like, this is wrong, and, like, this is what we need to do, without exploring, like, him at all. So, like, all
yeah,
the
he's not a character, he's just a tool for the story
yeah,
writers to kind of.
But like the reason he doesn't work in the same way that Sam does is because he is so prominent. Like it's just like this like voice of reason just punching you in the face, like, hey, this is wrong, hey, this is wrong, and after about like the third or fourth time he's on, you're like, okay, we get it. Like, let's move on. Like, come on.
Yeah.
And with Sam.
Sam.
Yeah, he transport you from.
Wait, what?
Sam the boatman.
Sam the boatman. He transports you from start. He transports you from the start to your mission. And then sometimes you'll be traveling back to the starting point with him. So like,
there's a fucking biblical reference to be made here, but I don't know.
Yeah, no, it reminds me.
Oh, he's.
It's the Greek mythology of. I don't think it's Greek, but it's one of the mythologies where like, you when they put the two coins on the eyes and then they ascend.
Oh no! Oh, it's when you go to hell. You have to go through like the river of blood. Yeah, and like he's basically like. He doesn't really like. He's not like evil. He's not like the devil.
No, yeah,
he's just like doing his fucking job.
He's just
right?
neutral. Like,
well,
he
yeah,
just,
it's
he takes the money and he delivers you to Hades.
Yeah, he's similar. Yeah, he's similar to death essentially. Like,
yes,
he is a neutral party, and he is like, I'm here to tell you like what's up. Like, you got hit by a train, you died. Like, you're coming with me.
Yeah.
Like, of course, it's not, you know, getting hit by a train, but it's like, hey, you've killed all these people. This isn't really a good thing, but...
Yeah, like, if you take, like... He always comes back to you and kind of gives you, like, a recap of what happened. And not only is he just a tool for these, like, story writers, he's also just a good character. Like, he'll say, okay, you know, you pulled out through the tuft, the thick and thin, and you saved that one girl without killing her from the party. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So... He gives you a neutral recap, and then he also puts his own views onto it.
Yeah.
Which works fine.
Yep. So what's some of the DLC exactly? I don't, like... I know Jacob...
It's all about Dodd.
It's a Dowd.
Yeah.
Dodd.
Is it Dodd?
It goes either way. I call
it
Dodd because it's way cooler
Dowd.
Than Dowd.
Dowd.
It's just... It's new powers, and it kind of feels like you're playing Big Boss in the Dishonored world. Because Dodd, it starts out with him in his hideout, and he's like, you know, shit's really rough. I hate doing what I do. It's gonna be my last mission. It's the fucking queen.
Yeah.
It's some really crazy shit.
Because I know some of the story.
Going nuclear.
And you can get a power with the runes to summon guys from your haven. They just kind of blink in, and you can also save them from danger as like a couple side quests. And it really feels like you're saving soldiers from Mother Base and then calling them in later.
Like, here, let me Fulton you.
Yeah, and then, of course, it has this really cool character. I forget her name, too, because it's been, like, 8 months since I... No, not eight, like, 6 months since I played Dishonored.
Isn't it
but
just, like, his, like, right hand? Isn't it a woman?
It's like an orphan he saved and trained to be the best of the best, and it's his best student, and if... Forget her name, but she wears like a red costume while everybody wears black.
Oh, isn't it like Billy or something?
Yeah, it's Billy. Huh. It's Billy, and it's just this black chick. And it's really cool. That's it.
Okay.
That's all. It's just...
I think she's like the only character who isn't Caucasian.
Yeah.
In, like, the whole
and it's
game.
Really weird,
game,
but it's
like...
really cool. I think the ending for the first DLC was really cryptic. That's my only issue. No, sorry, the ending for both, because you complete. The first DLC, which gives you an ending that ties into the second.
Yeah.
And then you complete the second.
Well, yeah, that would make
and it ties in back to the ending of the first, but not. It's
oh.
like, you. Let's say, for example, I saved Billy in the end of the first DLC. In the end of the second, you have a boss fight with a certain character. And then it's like, well, here's the credits. And then after the credits, it's like, by the way, Billy's standing in front of a burning boat. It means something. But we're not gonna tell you.
Guys, it means something.
It's literally a behind the shot of Billy standing in front of a boat and the boat's on fire. And then it just goes to the main menu. It says, good job, you did it.
So would you say that the DLCs are like a nice refreshing like separation between Corvo and Dowd?
Yeah, because of new powers.
Okay.
the new mechanics really tie it all together, and the new environments, like missions, they didn't skip out on making the Dishonored feel of the world, because
well, yeah, I mean, like, if you're Dishonored in itself is a world, so, like, to change the world of Dishonored would to be just to make a new game, which...
Well, no, like, they keep the spirit of Dishonored by having every inch of the map either have a side quest, a collectible, or unique conversation, or something. There's always something somewhere around the map, and that's in every single mission of the DLC. Okay. You can find a bit, because the second DLC, the story doesn't really make, like, at the end of the first expansion, they start talking about the witch in the second DLC. And that's where it all kind of comes clear, but you can find, like, Easter eggs for the second expansion in, like, the first 40 minutes of the first DLC.
Weird. So when does the DLC take place in relation with the, like, Corvo story?
Were you saying where?
Or, like, I know where it happens because I know at a point in Corvo's story, you go into Dowd's hideout. Like, you can either face Dowd or just kind
of
sneak in.
That's the end of the second DLC. Like, once you... It's completely weird because it's a weird time jump. Once you do the final boss fight, it's like, then I went and I met Corvo. Huh. It's like, okay.
So Corvo's story starts at the end of the first DLC?
Corvo's...
Wait.
No, Corvo's story...
Isn't in the first one, Dowd has, like, a nightmare, basically, of, like, Corvo coming to get him?
Yes. And the first expansion starts right after you kill the queen. You see it from Dodd's perspective, and then that's it.
Okay.
Like, it's a cinematic, and then you go to the gameplay. Okay. And then all the, like, everything that happens, it ties into, like, it kind of ties into Corvo's storyline when it needs to, but most of it's pretty separate, and that's why it kind of feels like a weird jump, where it's like, congratulations, you killed this really weird character that wasn't at all in Dishonored 1. And then it's like, by the way, based on those decisions, we'll decide whether Corvo kills you or not.
Hmm. Interesting.
Oh.
It's kind of like, it's a way to add the two endings, or the multiple endings from Vanilla Dishonored, but it's such a weird jump that it just doesn't feel right.
So we know that Dishonored 2 is going to be released sometime.
No, we don't. Shut up.
I thought that
asshole.
It was like,
no.
Quote-unquote, like, confirmed.
No. It's legitimate. Look, there's a
someone
fire.
Just, like, made a poster.
Wait, seriously? Somebody just, like, slapped a poster out there?
Yeah.
Well,
like, somebody was just, like, Dishonored, and then they put, like, two, like, designed twos behind Dishonored, and was like, yeah!
Yeah, maybe it's coming out because they canceled Prey 2, so maybe they're putting that extra man force on the Dishonored 2, but they haven't confirmed it.
I guess if Dishonored 2 were to release... What do you think would warrant
it? Wouldn't
it
be Corvo, because no matter what, Corvo's story is over in both endings. He's either dead or he's no longer a full-fledged assassin. Mm-hmm. It might tie into Corvo.
Yeah.
Corvo might be the wise old man who gives you info. He might be the new Sam the boat.
Yeah.
He might be Corvo the boatman,
Corvo
or Corvo the
boat
plane
man.
Corvo the car man.
I don't know. To me, like...
It might be about
God.
Honestly, they only talked about, in the same cutscene where you kill the queen, he's like, I've done, like, 40 jobs before this.
Well, yeah, like, well, because he has history with the Outsider, and, like,
he has a whole story of his own.
Yeah.
And so the Outsider kind of doesn't like him. There's this weird passive-aggressive kind of
relationship. Well, because, like, the Outsider likes you if you're interesting, and then once you're not interesting anymore, he just kind of throws you away like
trash.
Just
like Dodd.
Yeah.
I gave you powers, and all you do is kill people. Can you maybe, like... change it
well,
up
yeah, and that's
bit,
like that's part of him saying
tea?
Like, hey Corvo, you're interesting because you're, you know, a million different people technically. Like Corvo can
well,
be
yeah,
because
like Corvo acts the way the player
exactly.
acts. Yeah,
but I think Dishonored 2 would be about Dodd, and it would probably just expand more on the mechanics.
Well, so would you make that? Would you make that? If you were to make Dishonored 2 Dodd's story, but a prequel. To Dishonored, and just call it, like, Dishonored 2 and have it be, like, all about Dodd and how, like, he interacted with the city and, like, how he...
Make it MGS5. I want to recruit soldiers and put them in the specific parts of my haven and train them in certain ways,
oh
pull them out in the field.
No, at that point it'd become, like, Assassin's Creed, where you have your, like, stupid assassin squads.
No, those are stupid.
I don't know. I feel like it would be appropriate I mean this probably won't have it, but like it'd be appropriate to have like a situation that like that's completely removed from like the events of Dishonored 1, or at least like mostly removed. Looks like as in like it takes like a considerable amount of time between like Dishonored 2 and Dishonored 1. Like that's I feel like that would be I don't know, to me that'd be like the most appropriate thing.
Did you guys see the whaler designs from the DLC? Like those big like buff guys. They're just, like, general workforce.
Nope.
Dishonored 2, you play as generic workforce man who gets supernatural powers and, like, challenges Corvo at the end of Dishonored 1.
Oh, jeez.
Right after it.
That'd be so weird.
Generic soldier man.
I mean, if even if they were to make a second one about Dowd, would you want him to have the same power set that he has in the DLC?
No, it's so boring.
Okay,
so when you blink, time freezes, giving you time to, like, plan where you want to blink. You can summon guys. And
so,
I'm
but, like,
sure
even that just, like, that variation on blink, like, that...
It's interesting, but you can't make a second game off of it.
Yeah, but, like, that's a really, like... So, like, even Dowd has, like, blink. Do you think that, like, blink should be inherent to every one of the characters?
I think they could use the same powers and just change everything ever so slightly.
Okay.
And that would be fine. Like, use the same, like, take Corvo's moveset... And just kind of make, like, a Ryu-Ken situation.
Yeah, but I'm not saying, like take different. Every ability, but, like, blink... Like we said before, blink is, like, this key... One of the keystone things to make...
You can make it without blink, though. You could say Dawd didn't have supernatural powers yet in his first 20 executions.
Okay. That would also be really interesting to, like, play before you have powers.
Yeah, like, half the game you would
that
get
would,
blink, half
would,
the game you
I
wouldn't.
I would really like that, actually.
What, Jared?
But just, like, make, like, interesting twists, or, you know, like, not have blink or something crazy like that.
Like, it'd be interesting like, if, like, they did, like, if they actually did, like, a sequel to it, like, maybe the people of that world would have found, like, a way to suppress those powers. So, like, for certain missions, they'd be like, well, we're taking away this, or, like, if you got captured, they're like, well, we're stripping you of your powers.
Oh, so we're talking about Legend of Korra, where it's, like, there
magical powers. We're talking about Metroid here, man.
Yeah, okay.
Or like they give you like all of these powers on the first mission and then they take them all away on the second
one. Yeah, and then Death just laughs pull at up. You like ha ha the Alucard.
Ha ha.
Yeah, exactly.
Get this back, noob.
I'll be waiting on tallest
like,
tower.
Here's a kitchen knife, go assassinate that guy.
Go kill 20 rats and bring me their hides.
And I'll give you blink back.
Oh my goodness. So would you guys like to see a second one? Yeah.
No. I really like...
I really hated Dishonored, guys.
I want Dishonored 2 to be to Dishonored 1 like Far Cry 3 was to Far Cry 2.
To be fair, there are some elements of Far Cry 3 that are decent, and there are some improvements. But in terms of...
Yeah,
in
Far Cry 3 was
like... I completely agree with you
guys. There's improvements in the bang bang.
In terms of character development and actually, like... The character progression of a lot of the like the characters in Far Cry 1, like I started to play it
two.
I actually started to play it as if I was that character and as if I was like interacting with these people, and like while I still felt that there wasn't like this inherent connection, I did feel like a certain thing that was like, hey, these people are gonna save me if I go down.
There's an element to the world of hostility and just meeting a kind face, very similar to Dark Souls.
Yeah, that's true. And, like, you always know that they're going to be there, whereas in, like, Far Cry 3, like, the only, like, good character is Voss, and even he's kind of...
He gets, like, 5 minutes, because Troy Baker apparently didn't have enough time to voice Voss.
Because, guys, we got to have Hoyt.
Maybe if Far Cry 2 had, a, like, you know, some, like, your decisions will affect the future.
That would have been cool.
You know, they were actually gonna like plan it to where like if you blow up like a fuel depot or something, like enemies in this area will have less vehicles or something, but they totally failed on that and they just kinda like blow things up.
I feel that like a lot of it's like liberate this outpost and you do it and then like 10 minutes later you go back and like somebody's already taken it over again and you're like,
yeah.
Oh boy.
Well,
in Far Cry 3, it's like, well, I liberated an outpost. I will never visit that environment again.
That's true.
It's cooler to have them as more checkpoints on the road rather than just
some
secret treehouse up in the Himalayas.
The most interesting thing that somebody can do with an open world is make a dynamic open world, like GS5. Like MGS5 is gonna be, which is, it's gonna be this comprehensive world that weather affects it, like patrols affect it, like depending on what you've done before, everything affects.
Dude, it's gonna have, it's gonna do what Way of the Samurai does and have like a weird Groundhog Day effect where if you complete the mission only getting headshots, the trank, the guards wear helmets next time.
What?
That's replayability, yeah. That's
interact, like the environment will interact with you, sort
like
of.
Not even, like, that is to a point where I would consider the enemy, like, a mechanic.
No, I'd consider the enemies have without mechanics, but like the enemy input itself is not a mechanic.
Yeah. But yeah, I think we've said enough about Sonic. I think we've all come to the conclusion that it's pretty great.
I think it's the Far Cry 2 of 2012.
Far Cry 2 of 2012.
Well, like, not that many people liked Far Cry 2. Well, everyone likes
Sonic.
No, because
when you say not that many people, you mean not that many casuals. There's a difference, Jeremy.
No, I'd say Far Cry 2 at the same time is limiting in some ways, and it's very, like... I'd say the difference between Far Cry 2 and Dishonored is that in Far Cry 2... you do this, like, yes, you can upgrade your weapons differently, but, like, almost all the time you're going to get caught, and almost all the time you're just going to have to shoot yourself in situations, whereas in Dishonored, it's very much so not the case.
I think, when I think about, like, Far Cry 2's, like, just, like, combat, and, like, how, like, you have to, like, fight with the whole, like, world, I guess, like, the game space, I would sum it up as, like, a special forces simulator where, like, you get to make all the decisions, but all of the decisions you make are gonna end up being, like, I don't know, you shooting your way out. So, like, I don't know. It's really hard to one specific thing in Far Cry 2. Like, you have to, like, try really hard to make a mission a sneaking-only mission. Yeah. So, like, it sort of, like, makes you, like, think, like, okay, I really want to do this, but I still gotta think about doing the opposite of that, because that's just how the game is. Like it'll throw you into, like, sniper battles when you want to really just roll with a shotgun.
You're going loud in the back of your mind.
Yeah, because, like, if you kit yourself out with, like silencers and, like, more or less, like, not so damaging weapons, but stealthy weapons, like, you're not gonna get anywhere, because, like, I remember I walked up behind a guy with a knife and I stabbed him. And, like, him just seeing me alerts everyone. It reminds me of, like, the stupid, like, desynchronization in Assassin's Creed 3, but Brotherhood. Like,
no, dude, it's also in Ground Zeroes. When someone sees you, the whole base gets alerted.
But I think in Ground Zeroes, there's a few seconds that you have.
No,
like,
there's definitely ways to avoid getting alert. But if you have reflex turned off, or if you're just caught in a bad... if you're caught with your pants down and you can't aim your trank, then if he doesn't even pull out a radio. He just, like, has a shocked face, like... and then all the sirens go off. Like, everyone's mentally linked via nanomachines to the sirens.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. There's ways to do stealth, and there's ways to not do stealth, and I think Dishonored definitely hit on... good ways to do stealth, and at the same time, really,
choices. That's all stealth needs is choices.
Well, choices and the fact that, like, you could do variants on stealth. If you weren't a perfect stealther, you could, you know, add a little combat and, like, mix it up a little bit, add a crossbow or
that's what MGS5 is doing. So I guess we know Dishonored is good because MGS5 is copying it.
I guess so. All right. Well, I think that just about wraps it up. So, been good talking to you guys.
Oh yeah.
Wait, do we want to talk about, like, what's coming up next time? Like, I don't, do you plan on playing any other, like,
narrative-heavy
game?
if I could look at my Steam library, if that would explode out of my PC if it doesn't overload. Because
I know
next
time, I think we should talk about the Tony Hawk games, because I played through most of Pro Skater 2, and I ordered Pro Skater 3, and they're just... they're so good, man. Just from, like, an extreme sports perspective, but, like, from pure game design.
I don't know.
I think next episode we should complain about Skyrim.
I've done that too much in my life. It would just be a redundancy.
Well, like, because, I mean, in terms of, like, if we want to focus on mechanics again, in terms of Skyrim's mechanics, it's like, what is even, like, going on?
Because it's like, Skyrim's fine. My only complaint is it's not Morrowind. Like, that's it.
Well, like, it's not Morrowind or it's not Oblivion, like...
It's made for filthy casual.
Okay, that's next episode, Skyrim. Everyone.
No, I don't
know. No, I mean, I don't know what's going on next episode.
Well, like, I think it should obviously be varied. We need to talk about both games we enjoy and games we hate. Like, I want this to be a display of mechanics and in terms of, like,
sure,
what makes a game good in terms of mechanics and what offers... What does a bad game even offer in terms of a good mechanic.
We can talk about more niche games, like Way of the Samurai.
Could talk about
that. Oh, yeah.
I think something that'd be good to talk about would be Castle Crusader.
What?
Or not Castle Crusader. Stronghold Crusader HD. Yeah.
Sure, I'll talk about that.
Pardon my French.
I don't think Jeremy can talk about it because he hasn't fucking played the game.
Well, he does have access
to... I don't own it. I do have, but...
That's true.
He has access to both of our libraries, so he could probably play. I was thinking that or Insurgency, because Insurgency I could pick out a lot of things that are both really good.
I could talk
really
about bad. Insurgency for like 5 minutes before I'm just like, look at these dumb anime grenades. They make anime noises when they explode.
Okay, so I think we should expect either an episode on Insurgency, Stronghold Crusader HD.
What about Metal Gear?
I think we'll save that for
like
when
the whole...
of an episode.
I think we'll save that for when Ground Zeroes comes out. Or when Phantom Pain comes out. But
we can save it for when Ground Zeroes comes out on PC. December 18th.
Yeah, I think that'd be an okay time to talk about it.
Yeah.
There was... Guns of Icarus is another thing I think we could talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Scope.
Multiplayer.
And how, like, the multiplayer itself is, in a way, like, there's a meta multiplayer. Like, there's a meta cooperation within cooperation. Like, not only do ships have to cooperate, but the crew of a ship has to cooperate.
But that also ties, the cooperation would also tie...
One of the game mechanics is...
Yeah. So.
One of the game mechanics is just, like, telling someone not to do something. Yeah. Player input.
Or we could make an episode made of like 20-minute discussions of each.
I think that'd be... I want to go a little bit more in depth. Like, I think what we did with Dishonored was a really good example, so... I don't know. Sure. Expect something that isn't Sneak Thief Adventure Game. Maybe.
We could talk about Styx, the other Sneak
Thief. We should do an episode on
Thief. Yeah, just
you guys
like,
haven't
okay.
even played Thief. I've only gotten to like the first four missions of Thief 2, and I said, I know what this game's gonna play like for the rest of it.
Oh my god. Wait, like the new Thief or the old
No, Thief 2. Thief okay. 2. Old. Thief 2 the Bronze Age. Okay. One might say it was the Bronze Age of stealth games.
We could always do an episode fully 100% about Magicka. Magicka.
And their wieners on sticks.
We can talk about Total War.
Could talk about it.
I've only played like two Total War games.
That's enough.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't think there's like
five Total War games, and two, like Shogun 2 takes all the features from the previous ones, and then Empire Total War has the ones that were kind of left out. That's it. Boom. All of them.
Okay, so I think for next time we should either do, I think, a comparison and contrast of... let's say Company of Heroes and Stronghold Crusader.
StarCraft. Oh, okay.
Or
that would be interesting.
Yeah, because I think I can
relate to that.
Yeah.
On a physical
level. Yeah.
I can relate because my dick is hard.
Or.
You're talking about SWAT 4. Holy shit, I almost forgot about that game.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
so I think next episode is either going
Goat
to be...
Simulator.
I think next episode is going to be a compare and contrast of either Company of Heroes and Stronghold Crusader or of...
SWAT 4 and Insurgency.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay. All right.
awesome.
So,
all right.
This is Hancock Studios. Catching you guys later.
Maybe.
Maybe. We'll see.
All right. Later, skaters. That was good, yeah.